to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
The biggest food justification I've ever pulled off.
That's the right answer, for sure.
3 foot was a lot of sandwich.
I will try to position myself near the food station.
It is never a party without party mix. The biggest coup ever in Hungry Dad's history.
But wait, there's more.
LaCroix Seltzer is the opiate of the masses.
Oh, you're sick. You're sick.
We have the biggest stockpile of candy in this house that will ever exist, and I can justify it.
What is going on?
Hello, and welcome to episode 94 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
And as you may have noticed, we had a bit of a summer hiatus, a summer break in the podcast. We got a lot of angry mail from our listeners, which is good news to us. It means you're out there, you're wanting more content. But we had a very good reason for taking a hiatus. And Hugh Gallen, why have we just disappeared from the face of the podcast earth?
Mrs. Gallen turned 40 this year, and I steered my energies and my creative visions toward that. We threw her a few parties, but the real message here is the food and the party food aspects.
When you said a few parties, my mind immediately went to a justification, a podcast thing. So it sounds like I'm on the right track.
100%. We threw a surprise party and then a non-surprise party. And in each of them, food was at the center of what I was focusing on. The first one was a frozen yogurt surprise party. And then when we had a non-surprise party just with grown-ups, made sure there was enough booze, and we'll talk about that. But really, I was interested in making sure that there was food.
Quickly, for our newer listeners that don't know, Mr. Gallen and myself, Rod Budget, we live like hundreds of thousands of miles apart, so I was not at any of these parties. I have not heard about any of these parties because he's just been too busy buying food, basically.
And if we're being very official, you were not invited to these parties.
I was not invited. It's a business relationship.
Of course, and then it goes down to my reputation as a food expert and a member of the media with respect to food. I knew that the parties that I was throwing had to live up to a standard that would be expected as a podcast legend that I am.
We are. You can say it.
I've made my choice. Before I talk about this party and this party planning, when it springboard from something that's on our website, Rod, that we actually haven't talked about on the show. A while ago, I wrote a little essay. It was entitled Six Tips When Ordering Food for a Crowd. And this started as my baseline philosophy on this party. And then, of course, I used it as a springboard to explode into a whole party. So first things first, I'd like to just share my six tips for ordering food for a crowd and then explain how I extrapolated this for party throwing.
Straight from the Hungry Dad's website, hungrydads.com. This has been up there for a while.
When I was thinking about ordering food for a crowd, I wanted to make sure our listeners are aware of these tips. And they're pretty straightforward, but you'd be surprised how often people forget these things. And one thing when you have guests coming for food is you want to order early. You really want to have the food in the house before everyone gets there, or at least on the way. You might be thinking, what about people's choices and wanting to order? You know what? People actually don't want to be involved in that. When I walk into someone's house, the first thing I think is, what are we going to eat? And if I don't see an obvious answer to that, I'm already stressing out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And as a guest, I will try to position myself near the food station or the best food area or the best drink area. So when you get there, you have to jockey for position and just hang out in that area.
You know, if I don't see the food there, I'm immediately wondering, well, what are we eating? When am I going to eat? And am I going to have to enter into some kind of group decision dynamic about the food, which is one of my personal nightmares. So if you're the host, just decide what you're getting and have it ordered when everyone gets there. I think the odds are if you follow the rest of the tips, no one's going to be disappointed. So moving on to my next big tip, make sure you've got enough food for at least two or more extra people. Don't try to order for the exact number of people. This is not necessarily for a party. Party, we're going to scale up. I mean, look, this is obviously a good idea to make sure everyone gets enough food. If you start to run out, pizza being an easy example, if you get down to those last two slices, everyone might feel a little awkward taking those last two slices. So even if there's two left, it might look like you didn't get enough. You really want like a half to a three quarters of a pie left.
Or two extra pizzas.
Or two full extra pizzas. And that leads into obviously the big benefit here is you got leftovers. You got midnight snacks.
Don't cheap out.
My third big tip on ordering food for a crowd is to always, always, always get apps and sides. Always. Don't think about it. Don't consider whether people eat it or if they need it. Just always get it. And every type of food has a good corollary. I think choosing an app or a side is like pairing a fine wine with the main course. If you're going to get Chinese food, get that poo-poo platter, get the egg roll, get those spare ribs, get something to go with that regular Chinese food. It's going to get eaten. And if it doesn't, it's there for you the next day.
Get the poo-poo platter, please.
Pizza and wings, sandwiches and coleslaw, potato chips, macaroni salad. These are nice fillers. Especially if you've got a big eater in the group and yourself will be one, you want these sides to kind of fill out the menu, fill in your stomach, so that if the sandwich is going fast, at least you know you're going to fill up on these sides. It's an extension of the make sure you order enough, but really there isn't a food category you could give me where I wouldn't be able to tell you this is the side you get to go along with it. An extension from there is adding a dessert, always going to get you bonus points. Again, you might think, do people want dessert? Do people need dessert? The answer is people want dessert. I'm not going to say it's mandatory like a side or an app, but realistically, you don't want to pass on this option. Whether it's something you order or something you already have on hand, don't overlook it. It's another extension that gives you a little more buffer to make sure you and everyone else get something to eat. Tip number 5 is pretty basic. Let's say you haven't ordered the food yet and people are there. Just get out of the room when you call to make the order. Don't be in the crowd trying to make the order.
It's just proper etiquette, I think.
This isn't a public speaking engagement, and this is an important topic. You need to be able to focus, and you don't want to be taking extra suggestions at the last minute from a panel of highly interested parties nitpicking what you're going to do.
I've seen that happen a million times, and it's always a bad situation. You're on the phone, you're ordering, and somebody starts yelling an addition or cut this, and it's just a bad scene.
Yep, you're in charge. You are the decider. And if you follow the rest of the tips, you're going to be successful. So don't think you need a wingman on this. If you really think you need someone, you could have your spouse or your significant other join you in a secluded area to make the call.
People are going to think you're doing it.
A little more subversive part of this tip, which I hate to admit, but I'm just going to say it. It gives you deniability in case someone doesn't like the order. You can just blame the restaurant. If
right.
You asked,
let's
say they wanted mild and it's too hot, you can say, oh, you know what? I asked for mild and no one's going to know the difference. So again,
exactly.
You don't really want to be on the record with that order. That's a little more sneaky than I usually like to be. And my 6th tip, really very simple. If you're hosting, in my opinion, just pay the bill. And by the way, this is not because you're a good guy or because you're generous. It's mostly because you're a little lazy and pretty awkward. All that extra food you ordered, you want to keep those leftovers. And if you share the bill, you've got to enter into leftover negotiations.
Yep.
That can go in any number of bad ways. It could be trying to outpolite each other, or it could be someone trying to rip you off. So in my opinion, just pay the bill to avoid the awkwardness and to keep the leftovers.
Or you might even get into the awkward situation. It's usually with younger people, I think, but I didn't eat a lot, so I pay less. Like, I'm not going to pay even amount because I barely ate anything. And Hugh Gallen over here ate half the food. So.
And that's the thing. You want to be able to eat half the food without having to justify it economically or negotiate over it. The one big exception I'll say about paying the bill, if you're with your parents or your in-laws, don't fight with them over the bill. Politely
exactly.
Offer to pay, pretend to reach for your wallet, but then ultimately let them pay. I mean, that's kind of the one exception. Parents and in-laws.
That's their job. They'd like
but you
to,
should yes. Pretend. You should certainly do that fake reach for the wallet and say, are you sure? Are you sure? But we all know where that's ending up. With those basics settled, let me tell you a little bit about how I used this philosophy to perform what I honestly think was the biggest coup ever in Hungry Dad's history.
Wow, that's saying something.
These strategies turned this party into the biggest food justification I've ever pulled off. Even now, literally weeks later, our house is full of food. Delicious food, junk food, the types of food that we would not buy for any other occasion.
That's right.
Which foods I got, I was able to justify just massive amounts of indulgence.
Right. And you're doing it for her and her friends, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. For the most part, because it was a party for her, I wanted to spare my wife the details and the stress, so I handled it myself. And for the parts that we did discuss, I was able to easily justify an overindulgence or an extra pizza or one more tray of wings than we think we're going to need.
Right, you don't want to embarrass yourselves.
And so we've got a freezer full of wings that, hey, they warm up nice. We've got plenty of pizza left over. We've got a giant sandwich that lasted us for a week. I'm still eating like a king right now, all thanks to this party.
Did you get the sandwich? It was just like super long, like the giant sub.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It's when you imagine a 3-foot sub, I didn't imagine it that big, but once I got it, 3 feet, like,
there was a
moment I was considering the 6-foot, but thank God, 3-foot was a lot of sandwich, I will say.
Should have gotten the 6-foot.
You know, part of the justification is, well, you know, we'll eat it eventually. And I've got a few strategies when it comes to things like of the big sandwich. So, for instance, with the big sandwich, there was quite a bit left over, and that doesn't always keep very well. It's got the lettuce and the tomato on it. So in party cleanup, for instance, with the sandwich, one thing I did was I took the lettuce and tomato off the whole sandwich and put that in a container. It was still good lettuce and tomato and, frankly, made a decent salad on its own. And then the sandwich is preserved either in the fridge or the freezer for a lot longer. It's just meat, cheese, and bread. You can even put that in the freezer, warm it up. Fabulous hot sandwich. So you got to be thinking way ahead on these things.
And picture you swooping in as people are walking out the door, gathering up the tomatoes. And
exactly. Every stray tomato I saved
as
in a Tupperware.
People are still talking. People are still socializing.
If someone pulled their tomato off their sandwich and put it on the edge of their plate, I just plucked it off to put in my salad for the next day.
You got to do it. Got to.
Let's just dive right into the kind of things that I decided to serve at this party. The good news is it was all under the guise of picking my wife's favorite foods, but I was really able to make it something that benefited me significantly. Rod, have you had a chance to look at the party menu?
I did. I glanced at the party menu in the Top Secret Hungry Dad's Dropbox system, and it looked impressive.
So the thing I want to do is actually just review a few of these foods, both generally and with respect to how they served as a party food. Let me just give you the rundown of how we laid this out. So I planned to feed about 50 people. Really, it was a 40-person party. So that goes back to the strategy of just get plenty.
Yeah.
And even within there, I'll say, as you're planning at the last minute, you're saying to yourself, you know what? Let's just double down on certain things. So I probably planned for more than 50, but no regrets. I wanted to make sure we had foods out when people got here. So I just started out with sushi, crackers, chips. There was a specialty request for soft pretzels, which were a huge hit. Soft pretzel
Everybody
bites.
Everybody loves the soft pretzels. Yeah,
those things went like I wouldn't have believed. Big hit on the soft pretzels. And then sliders and fries. Ordered an assortment of sliders and french fries. Had Sterno's set up, keeping everything warm.
Wow.
Two different types of wings, hot and barbecue. And then, like I said, the 3-foot sandwich. There was plenty of all this left over, which was really the goal.
Now, quickly, this is all laid out very nice on a PowerPoint-type presentation. Was this for you to kind of organize your thoughts, or was this sent to the guests as kind of a menu and itinerary?
What you're looking at right now was sketched out by me, but one thing I actually did that, as you mentioned, sending it out to the guests, from the get-go, I wouldn't say I was necessarily planning on being this robust with the food, but I committed in the invitation. I was like listing off her favorite foods. Mm-hmm. And then as we were playing the party, we're thinking and we're talking, we're like, oh, that's a lot of food. That's a lot of different types of food. But I kept saying, well, we can't pull back. We've gone public that we're having sushi and wings and pizza and sandwiches.
Which was a brilliant move on your part,
And then, of course, as you're planning, you say to yourself, well, I don't want to run out of any one thing.
Right.
So I need to have, like, at least enough for 20 to 25 people of each thing times five or six things. That's, like, enough for 100 people.
That's assuming that everybody's eating every single thing.
It would
thing.
Be mortifying if we ran out of wings or pizza or a sandwich, so.
Right. Everything seems quite abundant. The one thing that I noticed is 32 slices of pizza for potentially 50 people. That seems a little low to me, even though I know you're assuming that people are going to eat other things as well. So what was your thinking on the 32 slices?
I'm glad you asked. I had a total strategy on that. I thought pizza was one of the few things that I could get more of in a pinch. If I'm noticing pizza's running low, I could have two or three more pizzas here in like 30 minutes.
That's a good point, yeah.
If there's anything I wasn't going to overcommit on, it was the pizza. And for sure, if there was anything I wasn't going to overcommit on, it was pizza with like vegetables on it. I ordered one half veggie, half mushroom.
I see
those
that.
Don't keep.
Yeah.
Those don't rewarm well.
Those don't get eaten.
Those had to go.
I guess my biggest question, glancing at all these various food items in this beautiful detailed list, is what were the big hits and what didn't go over as well or wasn't eaten as much, which I assume you observed and could tell pretty easily.
Absolutely. Well, I was able to do basically a postmortem by the end because I was piling up what was left over.
Right. How about the sushi? I'm curious about the sushi.
I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm pleased to say that the sushi went almost entirely, except a few pieces, because sushi doesn't keep. It was probably the one thing that I said to myself, this has to go. And so I wanted to make sure it all got eaten. And it essentially did. But three or four pieces left over, which led me to believe that it didn't underorder on the sushi. So yeah, the sushi went.
No, that sounds about right.
As I mentioned, the pretzel bites went big time. Interestingly, I got some very good last-minute advice from my wife's sister and best friend as I was preparing the pretzel bites. I was on the fence as to whether I was going to commit to a cheese dip with it, and they looked at me like I was a fool for even asking. I was a little embarrassed, actually, to even question that. Yes, of course, you need to have cheese, nacho cheese dip.
That's the right answer, for sure.
And I'll tell you what the biggest surprise hit of the party was. Coffee cake. Coffee cake was added to the menu almost entirely because it's just a favorite of Mrs. Gallen. She loves coffee cake. So we actually had coffee cake at the exclusion of a cake or cupcakes. And I figured this was probably maybe not a crowd-pleasing decision, but certainly in the vein of this is what Mrs. Gallen would want at a party. It was that very crumbly kind with the thick layer of like brown sugar on top. Yeah. People were crazy over the coffee cake, and I bought a lot of it, and it almost all went.
Wow. I think the thing with coffee cake is it has a weird name, so people like shy away from it, but it's still really just a cake. It's just got a weird name and it looks a little different, but
yeah, I mostly imagine like eating it, you know, with coffee, like after church or something like that, which doesn't seem that exciting, but coffee cake definitely has.
Yeah, you're right. Like after church with like a doily underneath it and like
Look, I'd be hard-pressed to say this was a wild party, but this was a grown-up party with music and alcohol and coffee cake.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, not to take away from the coffee cake, but I think it's one of those things after people get a little tipsy that they're just going to, like, tear into. This is amazing. Yep. Did you ask if there were any vegetarians in the crowd, or did you know them well enough to know the vegetarians? Well, you considered them because you got some, like, veggie pizza, and I see some veggie sliders. So I was curious.
Since you mentioned it, the one thing you won't see listed, because it was an afterthought and it was just for show, is I did get the smallest available vegetable tray at the grocery store. and
which, next to all this food, must look
absurd.
And
honestly, it did. And can I tell you, it barely got touched. It didn't get touched at all.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I'll tell this is a 100% true story. One of the guests, a friend of ours, of course, came in the room where the desserts were, and she came in with a couple of carrot sticks in her hand, and she was nibbling on the carrot sticks, and someone joked, "Oh, you actually ate the vegetables." And she laughed. She's like, "This is literally no joke. I was asking someone where the dessert was, and they pointed me that way. And I went over there, and all was there was the vegetables, and I felt awkward, so I grabbed a few. And then I came back here to get the coffee cake."
Good for her for being honest.
So it was literally the only vegetables that got eaten were by accident.
There. You should have put in the tiny veggie tray like between the onion rings and the s'mores, maybe.
So yeah, it was really just for show. It was just to, you know, give the appearances.
Well, provide some nice color.
And, you know, a little fiber for those who might be interested.
Those who need to poop. All right. What did not get eaten, or what was not a big hit? Anything surprising?
I ordered way too many French fries. French fries I thought would go a little bit heavier than they did. People love fries, but unfortunately, what I learned, at least when ordering them as I did, they do not come fresh. By the time they've been fried and then put in a container and delivered, they've basically been steamed.
They're soggy. And if you want to use ketchup, it's kind of an ordeal if you're walking around and everything. I could see that.
I'd say if anything under-delivered, it was definitely the fries. The sandwich didn't actually go that much either. I think it's maybe kind of pedestrian compared to the other offerings.
Right. It's not quite as unique as the s'mores station. So it's described as a s'mores station, so I assume you had some marshmallows, some graham crackers and chocolate. People could build their own s'more and shove it in the microwave, or did you build a fire like inside the house?
It ended up being a little bit all of the above. So I had it set up near the microwave with all the constituents of a s'more. I actually went to the internet and printed the recipe for microwave s'mores just to leave nothing to anyone's imagination. I also, just maybe for those who weren't necessarily so compelled to put the effort in, I also included a container of Hershey's spread, a container of Reese's spread, and marshmallow fluff.
Wow.
These are probably some prime examples of the kind of things that are in my house right now that would almost never be in my house otherwise.
You have a tub of marshmallow fluff in your house.
Probably the prime example where I was out shopping for the party and I looked at it and I said, yes, I'm buying this. There's never another day in the year or possibly in my life where I'm just going to unequivocally, unquestionably buy a tub of marshmallow fluff and I can justify it.
Yeah, I think a party justification is top of the scale. I never really thought about it, but you're doing it for her. You're doing it for them. And you don't want to embarrass yourself.
And how interesting is it just to have a tub of marshmallow fluff out there for your guests? And honestly, you want to know the truth?
Right.
I think it barely got touched, but it got talked about. It got noticed.
It's a topic of conversation. That's right.
Speaking of the marshmallow fluff, one thing I noticed that was an interesting phenomenon in the following days and weeks after the party is I've been enjoying the marshmallow fluff, whether it be by way of using it on something or just with a spoon. It's got a very interesting phenomenon where after literally a few minutes, the top just evens back out again. So you can't really tell when it's been pilfered in any way, which I really enjoyed that. The surface looks completely untouched.
Yeah.
Which is nice for your covert eating. As opposed to, like, if you grab a spoonful of peanut butter, you have to do some work to cover your tracks.
Or ice cream. Or butter, yeah.
The marshmallow fluff, you can definitely take a spoonful, and really no one will be the wiser. There was a last-minute innovation to the s'more station. I got to give credit to my wife's best friend, who suggested or asked or insisted, frankly, that she was going to make a s'more over our stove.
Just after a few drinks, I assume.
So I grabbed some skewers we had, and I put them out. And it wasn't like a nonstop line at the s'mores station, but s'mores did get made into the evening. I had the fire extinguisher ready to go. It was not necessary.
No, that's good to know, because people have to work for that. That's a little bit of work going into it, and I might shy away from it, honestly. I like s'mores, but if I have wings sitting right next to it, I'm just going to grab a wing. So I'm glad people weren't lazy about it.
Yeah, Mrs. Gallen predicted that nobody would make a s'mores, and I was pleasantly surprised when some people kind of broke the ice on it. It became a little bit of an activity, kind of silly.
Crazy, a little crazy.
I don't know if I can call it a hit. I might be overstating it, but was it utilized and talked about? Certainly.
So I see one thing on the list. Kenny's Crumbs. I don't know if I'm familiar with Kenny's Crumbs.
Kenny's Crumbs are an extension of Mrs. Gallen's passion for coffee cake. So Kenny's Crumbs are a cookie-like product that claim to be the best part of the crumb cake.
The top of the crumb cake.
All love and respect for Kenny's Crumbs, but frankly, they were a little disappointing. Basically a cinnamon-flavored cookie, but they did not evoke the excellence of the top part of a crumb cake.
It's a little kitschy.
And a little presumptuous to say you could pull that off.
It's a ripoff of Top of the Muffin from Seinfeld.
Let me tell you a little bit about the party mix. Anybody who's a fan of the Hungry Dad podcast knows that I am a big fan of party mix, and it is never a party without party mix in my house. That was an essential.
Well, it is it's a party mix, yeah.
It's the large tub. More than a few partygoers mentioned, they were just returning to that tub over and over again, loving the tub of party mix. And I wasn't surprised, but I had to make a somewhat embarrassing confession. This tub of party mix was purchased for another event several months prior. It didn't get used or opened, and so I used it for this party without realizing that it was beyond its Best Buy date by a few months. And in my expert palate, it showed. I thought the party mix was less than fresh. Yeah. I can't blame that on hers, because they appropriately labeled their Best Buy date.
Yeah, I think the tub, right. And you said it was unopened.
And it was unopened the entire time. Respect the Best Buy date.
Yeah, I think party mix is one of those things, again, that people probably don't ever have around them. It's delicious. I mean, if it's sitting in front of me at a party, I'm having a few drinks, yeah, I'm just going to go back and just keep scooping out of the party mix, because people, they might not admit it, but it tastes great. It's delicious. I've noticed the hers looks a little heavier on the Cheeto-type things, or maybe there's just a lot up at the top there, but it looks like an inordinate amount of Cheetos.
The photo might be a little deceiving, because the tub is tipped. This is actually a representation of what was left after the party.
Oh, wow.
I tipped it for aesthetic effect.
Photogenic.
But I think the story there might be is that perhaps the Cheetos didn't go, which is surprising.
Oh, yeah, people picked around the Cheetos, I think you're right.
Which I would have thought that...
The pretzels are gone.
I would have thought people wouldn't have gone for the pretzels so much. So my best theory...
You were serving beer, though, as well, right? People like beer and
pretzels. Well, I might have to throw another party just to test this hypothesis.
Well,
I think perhaps the pretzels from the party mix went, whereas the bowl of pretzels didn't go. Because, frankly, pretzels from party mix are far more delicious. They've got the dusting of all the other things.
They've got dusting, yeah.
So if you're at a party and you see party mix and you see a bowl of pretzels, which one are you going to take? And you want a pretzel, where are you
going to
go?
Going right to the party mix tub, you know? And that's an expert decision. Now, did you take note of which sort of wing went more, or if they both went, maybe? You had a hot and a barbecue?
By a large margin, the classic... hotter buffalo wing went compared to the barbecue, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
I ended up ordering a phenomenally large number of wings. I ordered a tray of wings, which I didn't really ask how much that was. It was a lot of wings. Honestly, I don't even know. It was more than enough wings. And they wouldn't... When I ordered, I asked if I could get a half barbecue and half hot. They said no. So I just go, all right, fine, give me one of each. And, you know...
You told them.
Exactly. I didn't take a lot of arm twisting.
Yes.
I'm a believer that wings are something you can put them in the freezer. They rewarm real nice. And so I wasn't afraid to have too many wings, not by a long shot. Of all the things I was happy to have plenty of, it was the wings, actually.
One question on the desserts. I notice you have the giant Reese's. Now... interested in quantity on that, because that's a real hard one, I think, to kind of, were people taking like a giant Reese's for themselves, or did you expect them to cut them up? How did that work out?
So I postured the giant Reese's. So the giant Reese's, let me try to give you a sense.
I know the giant Reese's.
About as round as the size of a CD, you know, probably an inch thick or so. And I put it on a cheese plate with a cheese knife.
Oh, wow.
It went exquisitely that way.
Immediately.
I cut off a few pieces just to kind of break into it.
Encourage it, yeah.
And from there, just imagine how you'd enjoy a cheese plate. That's how people enjoyed the Reese's plate.
I will say I find the giant Reese's proportions a little bit off. It seems like there's either more chocolate or more peanut butter. It's still delicious, but given a giant versus regular size Reese's, a regular size tastes better. So your guests may have been a little bit mad at you for that.
I got some guest commentary on exactly that point, and there was a divergent view on that. One guest
was right and one was wrong.
Felt that giant Reese's was a breakthrough because there was a larger peanut butter and they enjoyed the more peanut butter. Whereas another guest said, yeah, it's a little light on the chocolate. It also depends on if you get to the edge or in the middle. In the middle, you're going to be light on the chocolate. At the edge, it was actually a pretty thick edge of chocolate. So the good news is I think as a guest eating off of the Reese's plate, you could pick your ratio preference there.
Also good for the guest for calling out the lack of chocolate. That means they're open. They're a good friend. They can tell you these things. Food was hero at this party.
But let's talk about the drinks real quick, Rod.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, LaCroix Seltzer. If you go back on prior episodes, you're going to find out what a revelation we had, realizing that seltzer is the opiate of the masses nowadays.
Yeah, listen to our seltzer episode.
LaCroix specifically, of course.
Yeah, it looks like you got some exotic beer here. I see a vanilla porter. That sounds heavy.
It was heavy. It was quite good. You also might see some...
Not your mom's apple pie and not your mom's strawberry rhubarb.
These were the same brand, if you've heard of Not Your Father's Root Beer. These are alcoholic brand root beers, and I think this is an offshoot. They're awesome. This is basically the beer version of a drink with a flower in it. Don't care. So delicious. It was awesome. It's, you know, it's like, what, like a wine cooler or whatever. It's like Kool-Aid.
First thing I noticed was the strawberry rhubarb has higher alcohol.
And rhubarb ferments, perhaps.
They're both brewed with Madagascar vanilla, the only vanilla that I will...
Also have a, frankly, very busty mom on the bottle.
Yes. Well, that is a buxom mom. There, why is she like a, she's like 60s?
Yeah, she's 60s dressed up mom. Like it's not in her 60s.
No, from the 1960s. Carrying an apple pie, and I mean the rhubarb lady's.
No,
not
she's
either.
Good, but she's covering her figure with a pie.
She's a little more.
She's a little more covered with pie. You can't see her full figure, which is probably good.
Her cleavage. Yeah.
No, the apple pie mom is.
The apple pie mom is hot. And for those who don't visit the website, these are not photographs. This is
Norman Rockwell style drawings of moms holding pies. And frankly, I'll maintain moms. These are like pinup. These are like pinup. Girls,
they are
apple pie mom form,
and maybe now I mean I just realized it's not your mom's apple pie.
Maybe this is not your mom.
Maybe
this is the woman.
That's not your mom, right? That's insulting. It's insulting to moms everywhere. If you think,
yeah, right. It's like your mom can't make a pie like this or look like this.
It's funny that I noticed the alcohol percentage before I noticed the buxom mom.
I hadn't really noticed the women on the cover until we started looking now. I was honestly more interested in the flavors, and they were delicious, no doubt about it. Another unique flavor I decided to throw into the party was Sweet Baby Jesus Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter.
Wow, there's a lot going on in that name.
I bought this mostly because I thought it sounded interesting, thinking this thing is not going to taste very good. Rod Budget, this was delicious. It surprisingly successfully evoked chocolate and peanut butter. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's the best beer ever. I'm not really a beer expert. So if you're a beer expert and you drink this and say that this is swill, I won't argue with you. But compared to other beers I've had that purported to be something kind of unique, this actually gave the flavor and seemed to mix it pretty well.
We've gone over this amazing smorgasbord of food, sides, apps, desserts, as far as the eye can see. And now a lot of these beers are like very heavy beers as well. About how many hours were people consuming this stuff? Because I can put away some food and drink, but this seems like a lot.
So obviously people came and went at their leisure, and it wasn't a packed house beginning to end. What I personally decided to assume was that some group of people might really make a night of it. You know, some folks came early and stayed late, which was fantastic.
As I was staring at the Sweet Baby Jesus chocolate peanut butter porter, I was picturing me drinking it after eating 20 wings and 5 pieces of pizza and an entire giant Reese's. And I was like, man, that's not going to go down.
I don't know if this is interesting or not, but I learned a lot about sternos. Have you ever used a sterno before? Those metal tinfoil trays that are raised in a little rack, and then it's got a candle underneath that basically keeps everything hot.
Yeah.
That's called a sterno, and I never used one before. So I had the food either delivered or I picked it up from several different places, but over the course of the night, I wanted it to stay warm, so I set up these little sternos. It's a little fold-out rack, and then you put one tinfoil pan in, you put some water in it, then you put the other foil pan on top of that and the food in there.
Does like the heating candle thing come with it, or do you like...
No, it comes with the heating candle that fits into a little fitting at the bottom underneath in a little circle. It's kind of a fun little experiment to set up like a kit. The Sterno, at least the version I bought, which is proper, the Sterno brand, it's not a candle. It's this goopy gel that, number one, if you don't know what you're doing, when you open the can, it flies all over the place, and it's probably poison.
And then it gets all in the food, and you don't tell anybody.
People mistake it for the nacho cheese. It was a pink, it looked like hair gel, and there's no wick. You just literally light the gel, and it starts flaming blue.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And you put a certain amount of water in there, and the thing I miscalculated for a couple of my sternos was the fact that the water ends up evaporating, so I replaced the sterno candle piece, but I never replaced the water. And so there was a burning point in the evening where someone was like, something smells like it's burning, and I quickly identified the problem, was able to put out the sterno, and...
a lot of fire hazards at this party.
Between the s'mores and the sternos.
Jeez. It's a dangerous, dangerous party.
I don't think I've shared, Rod, the biggest innovation to this party that I instituted.
But wait, there's more.
Amongst the various food items, you're going to see pictures of candy. The reason that we had this candy is not because I provided it for the party. It was, in fact, because on my invitation, I said, no presents, please. However, here's a list of her favorite candies. If you'd like to bring a small amount of candy, I'm sure she'd love it.
So even her presents, you're going to end up eating a lot of. That's brilliant.
We have the biggest stockpile of candy in this house that will ever exist.
Yeah, look at this.
Beating out pre-Halloween, Easter leftovers, nothing.
Take 5 bars.
And this was all in the name of being sweet to my wife. And I think guests appreciated it because we really didn't want gifts for them to think about gifts. We also didn't want 20 bottles of wine.
You'd rather have candy, yeah.
A simpler offering for folks who wanted to bring a little something.
Now, I have to ask the question. I'm looking at the picture. The fruit chews, the little Tootsie Roll looking fruit chews, does she really like those, or did somebody just cheap out and buy really cheap candy and bring cheap candy?
She actually really likes those. Those are one of the specified items that she particularly likes.
To each their own. I mean, I'm not going to come down hard on her.
Yeah, I'm a fan of them too, actually.
Oh, you're sick. You're sick.
No, well, Rod, all right, now we're going to get into a... issue. We should save this for another episode because I'll put these up against Starburst any day of the week.
I'm not a huge Starburst fan either, so there we go.
Well, it's all right, so you're not in the target audience. But just to be clear for listeners, these are non-chocolate fruit and vanilla-flavored Tootsie Rolls that I think are highly underrated and really should be getting more attention than they deserve.
And you know we come down hard on the original Tootsie Rolls all the time, so...
But these are an undervalued item, and I'll just get into it since you brought it up. I was going to do a whole episode, but let's just go there. I think their most direct competitor or comparison would be Starburst. And here's the thing about Starburst. They're impossible to open. They're tightly wrapped in these little
the
waxy...
The wax sticks to the...
Sealed
wax.
To the... And, like, you got to really use your fingernail to get it open, and each one's individually
More
wrapped.
Than once, I have consumed a little Starburst wrapper by accident that was stuck to the burst.
Yeah, it's really hardly worth the effort. Compare that to the fruity Tootsie Roll. Grab an end, pull, unwirls itself, and there you've got a nice big bite of chewy goodness with... I'll admit, a little less flavor than the Starburst, but if I say less acidity, it's actually a more enjoyable experience. Starbursts are a little powerful and acidic, whereas the Fruit Tootsie really hits a nice sweet balance, good chew.
Not so in your face. And they get in your molars probably, which you enjoy as well, so that might be part of it.
I do love it stuck in my molar.
Hungry Dads. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.